Is there a problem with using Microsoft Edge from a privacy perspective if you're already on Windows? Are there any solutions for voicemail on Android if you use a custom dialer? Some questions about legal options for data requests and data deletion here in the US, and a question about IoT security cameras for the home. Welcome to the Surveillance Report 176 Q&A. This is where our patrons at $5 a month or more get to ask us questions, and we will do our best to answer them for all of you guys watching. So our first question comes from Cracker Barrel Biscuits, who says, is there a problem with using Edge from a privacy perspective if I'm already on Windows? I assume Windows is collecting my browser data regardless of the browser I use. If I turn off as much junk as I can in the settings, should I still be concerned with using Edge? It's very fast on Windows and has features that even Brave still lacks. I guess I'll start with, as always, your threat model. What are you trying to defend against? What's important to you? If the speed and the features are really important to you and your threat model allows for it, then that's entirely up to you. And so I did quite a bit of digging this morning trying to answer this question. Brave AI claims that Microsoft does collect data even from other browsers, but I couldn't find that anywhere. Even in, like, it cited its sources. I clicked all six of them, did not find that anywhere. I went through like 2 pages of search results. Did not find that anywhere. The closest thing I found was Smart Screen. But again, I did a little bit of digging, not as much digging, admittedly. I did a little bit of digging on Smart Screen, and apparently Smart Screen only works on Edge and apps. So like theoretically, if you go into Firefox and you download an app, Smart Screen will check that app when you try to install it, but it won't check Firefox itself. And then, of course, I found an article from ZDNet, but they were citing a professor from Trinity College who claimed that Edge was by far the worst for privacy.
I actually didn't read your notes on this because it's funny. So that paper was published in 2020, and it's called Web Browser Privacy, What Do Browsers Send When They Phone Home? And that's from Douglas Leith from Trinity College in Dublin. I have the paper right in front of me here.
To be fair, though, that's like by default, right? Without modifying any settings?
Right. It's default, which for the record is how most people use their browsers, but it also just gives you like an inside look into like what happens by default. You can dig through it. It's really technical. They go through like what happens when you start using the Omnibar, what cookies are implemented, what are they using for safe search. I'm going to just read the last sentence of the abstract. We find that the browser split into 3 distinct groups from this privacy perspective. In the first, most private group lies Brave. In the second, Chrome, Firefox, and Safari. And in the third, least private group lies Edge and Yandex. So again, in the context of default settings and kind of the more superficial stuff, a lot of which you might be able to disable, actually, Edge doesn't fare very well against the alternatives. But again, it always comes down to what you're using the browser for. The main thing I'd be asking you is, if you're using Edge as your main browser on Windows, is that preventing you from using a better browser on other platforms? Is Edge now what you have to sync your bookmarks and everything with because it's so much better there? That's what I'd be more concerned about. I think there are benefits to moving away from Edge on Microsoft Windows, but it's not going to make or break you. And then there's little things. I'm glad you mentioned Smart Screen, because Brave, for example, it uses Google Safe Browsing, but they actually proxy it. So there's little things like that that actually are quite a bit more private in different browsers, depending on how they implement things. So
just to kind of bookend that, again, depending on your threat model, I think it will help a lot if you can adjust some of the settings. I know you've always got to be careful of the third-party scripts you trust, but using something like W10 Privacy, which also does work on Windows 11, O&O Shutup 10, which also does work on 11, Windows Spy Blocker. If you implement some of those tools that are a little more trusted in the community, I think you really can turn off a lot of that telemetry. And also not using a Microsoft account probably helps too. It's definitely not as private as switching to something like Brave or Firefox. But if you make the effort to make those changes, and again, if it fits your threat model, I think you can mitigate it a lot.
I am going to nitpick one thing here out of this research article. This is one thing that I would be thinking about if you're using Edge. Microsoft Edge and Yandex, the reason why they're worse than the other two, for those curious, is because they actually send identifiers that are linked to the device hardware and persist across fresh browser installs and can also be used to link different apps running on the same device. So Edge sends the hardware UUID of the device to Microsoft, which is a strong and enduring identifier that cannot be easily changed or deleted. Similarly, Yandex transmits a hash of the hardware serial number and MAC address to backend servers. As far as they can tell, this behavior cannot be disabled by users on either browser. In addition to the search autocomplete functionality, which can be disabled by users, that shares details of web pages that are visited. Both transmit web page information to servers that appear unrelated to search autocomplete. At minimum, have a private browser installed on Microsoft to at least offload things that are sensitive. Next question is from Mr. Camel 999, classic question asker and a long-term patron of ours who we love. So how do you have voicemail work on Android in a private way? I noticed Fossify phone, it doesn't have voicemail, and I seemingly can't find an app other than the default phone app on Android that has voicemail, and they mentioned they're not on a custom ROM. I've never used a third-party phone app, personally. I've seen them, I think maybe Simple has one. I haven't heard of Fossify. So I actually can't really speak to much in my
Fossify is the replacement for Simple.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's right, because they got bought out. And
yeah, when Simple got bought out and went closed or started adding ads or whatever it was they did, somebody forked it and it became Fossify. So I think they're still rolling out a lot of apps and features, but they basically are picking up that mantle.
Got it. Okay, good to know. I've never used Simple, so I'm slowly getting caught up with that. I really don't know what to suggest here. I would also ask what your concern is with the default phone app as well. That's just a question that throw your way as well, because if you're not on a custom ROM, then again, the operating system itself has to also process like the phone call and stuff like that. So just some things to think about, and maybe it's worth it to just wait for Fossify to roll out the functionality.
Yeah, I don't have an answer because I use, and I know I keep saying I want to move away from them. I just haven't had time to explore other options, but I've been using MySudo for years and they come built in with a voicemail. So I don't download any third-party phone apps. I don't use my SIM phone number. For the record, I did try to do a quick look here. I did try to do a look for like open source Android voicemail, and all I found was like visual voicemail, which you didn't necessarily specify. So I don't know if maybe anybody else does know of a good one. If you do, feel free to leave it in the comments, but I didn't come up with anything. I think this relates to last week's Q&A. David asks, do you know what the legal basis in the US is for an option to request personal data that a company has on you as a user, which recently seemed to start appearing on major online platforms? Is it in response to a federal statute or regulatory ruling or something state-specific that businesses find more expedient to deploy countrywide? Henry mentioned CCPA and GDPR in the previous Q&A, but my understanding is that he is in California. So how does one invoke GDPR from the US without misrepresenting facts about oneself to a company? In response to the first part of your question, I'm questioning now that I'm rereading it, but I think you're basically saying, what legal options do I have to request data from a company? And the answer is, it depends. We do not have anything federal in the US that covers the whole country. States are starting to roll them out. CCPA was kind of the first one. But as you pointed out, it only applies to Californians. It's very patchwork. Like, I think Utah has one that just came into effect. I think Virginia, but don't quote me.
I think Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. I forgot about Colorado. Or it's coming into effect soon, something like that.
I think Oregon.
I think they might have passed one, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
It really is. And unfortunately, it doesn't always make the news. So whatever state you're in, I would try to find out what kind of privacy laws you have in place. On the new oil, on our last page with all the links and recommended resources, we should have like a state legislation tracker. It's in the resources. It's very easy to find, but it links you to, you can choose your state and it'll tell you what bills have been proposed, which ones have passed, which ones have failed, which ones are still in Congress. So that could be a good place to check. It's actually very user-friendly. I know that sounds like, oh my God, there's going to be pages, but unfortunately, privacy is not that popular with legislation, so it's not that big. I would just start by looking at what the options are in your state. As far as requesting things without misrepresenting yourself, I'm going to be honest, morally, I don't care. Unless it's really obvious, like I'm trying to get my address taken down and it's like, well, obviously my address is in Dallas, Texas, so you know I'm not in California, then obviously that's not going to work. But if it's something like a picture of yourself, how are they going to know? Are they going to run that thing through some kind of open source database and figure out exactly where that picture was taken and like, oh no, that's in, you know, Portland, Maine. Like they're not going to do that. It's hit or miss, but I found a lot of places are just like, I'm not even going to bother. I'll just take it down. It's better than fighting with one user. Other than that, I mean, you're just kind of at the mercy of things. Like, and just to clarify, I don't think Henry was saying that he invokes GDPR. I think he was just pointing out like, if you have access to that, if you live in California, if you live in the UK, if you live in a state that has these kind of privacy laws.
I do remember misspeaking a little bit. And as I said it, that's why I think I ended it by saying like, oh, and I'll use CCPA, but it made it sound like I was using GDPR. The only time I do is sometimes, I've seen this sometimes with local installations, actually. Like you're installing a software on your computer and it asks, it's a checkbox, are you an EU citizen? I normally say yes to those because like normally all it does is just change the kind of data that the app submits. So like there's little ways like that that I will like say I'm an EU citizen because it doesn't involve like directly contacting a company or anything. Also, again, like if you don't know what to do, like we always recommend kind of aliasing information in the first place. So that way, even if it's never deleted, it's not a huge deal to just keep it online indefinitely. Because you should assume even if they do delete it, it's not permanently deleted.
Oh, I will say one other thing is the vast majority of lawyers will answer simple questions or do an initial consult for free. It's not something I would do constantly because you'll probably burn through lawyers and piss them off pretty quick. There's only so many lawyers in any given area. But I think if you find a, I don't even know what kind of lawyer that would be. Maybe just like some kind of like civil rights lawyer or something. I don't know. But if you can find like a relevant lawyer in your area, I'm sure you can call them and just be like, hey, I'm a privacy enthusiast. I really take my privacy seriously. I'm trying to request this data from a company. Can you just point me to any laws for this state that might apply that I could cite? And I'm sure they'd be more than happy to like, oh, you know, this one passed last year. Because all this stuff is so recent. It's not like they have to go digging through 500 years of case law or something. And they can at least point you in the right direction.
And the last question is from Encrypted Eagle. Fun name. Just subscribed to your Patreon and been listening to Surveillance Support and watching your personal channel for a few years. Love the content. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate new patrons. The question is about outdoor security cameras for the home. They want to monitor their space a little bit more and they want to be alerted, but they realize that most mainstream providers have terrible practices. So they'd like a setup that runs locally and if possible uses open source software. What are the best options in your opinion? I'm open to using standalone cameras with batteries and SD cards or ones that connect to a hub via Wi-Fi and store media on an external drive. In relation to using a camera that connects via Wi-Fi, would it be best practice to set this up on a separate Wi-Fi network or even on its own dedicated router? I'm going to just spitball a ton of things here on my end. One, just make sure, because you said you want to be alerted for suspicious activity. So if it's local, then you're not going to be alerted when you're outside the home. Just something to consider. So you want to try to like iron that out. Fortunately, there's a lot of ways to do this that A, there's end-to-end encryption now for some providers. So you can specifically try to pick a provider that offers end-to-end encryption, which on a technical level isn't too much different from local access. Aside from that, you can self-host. I personally always push people. I feel like it's honestly like one of the most convenient and easiest ways to do it is through Synology. Synology has a whole surveillance station. It's integrated into the Synology suite. You get a NAS and it works with almost all cameras. Like you can look at the camera compatibility list. You can just pick any random camera, set it up, and then it's hooked up locally to your network. It's also got really good uptime. You should be able to access it remotely if you configure it to be accessed remotely, but you also don't have to do that. You can keep it fully local as well. So you have lots of options. You have lots of flexibility. It's from a pretty darn trusted company in the space. I've been looking into this, and if I was looking into it, like pretty much the core options I'm looking at are mostly Synology at this point, especially because I already have a NAS, so it makes more sense for me. Otherwise, it's just hard. I also just don't know what the point is of something with batteries and an SD card. Because if someone's breaking in, they can just take the camera. And that's kind of the issue I have with my current dash cam in my car, is that it's offline. If someone breaks into my car, they can just take the whole dash cam, and then I don't even have evidence of that. So those are the kind of the things I'm thinking about. I feel like there has to be some compromise in terms of like safety with privacy here.
That is also a good point of something to keep in mind is if it's locally stored and someone breaks into your house, I'm not a thief, but I would assume that they're going to steal anything of value, which these days means electronics. So that is something to keep in mind is if you're storing it truly locally, depending on what you're storing it on and where you put it, there's a really good chance they're going to go, oh, electronic device, take. And the thing is, a thief wants to get in and out as quick as possible. Because they don't know if you've got an alarm. They don't know if somebody saw them come in. Generally speaking, they're not going to hang out, make a sandwich, take a nap. True crime fans know there are weird stories out there. But generally speaking, they're going to be in and out in like 10 minutes. So they're not going to stop and go, oh, what is this thing? Is this, do I want to take that? They're going to, looks valuable, take it. We'll figure it out later. You might want to get like a VPS or something just for the sake of it. Because that's kind of number three is you talk about alerts. And statistically speaking, the best time to catch a criminal is while the crime is occurring. Aside from that, the other purpose of a security camera is really just to have evidence. It's for like insurance claims. It's if they do manage to catch the guy, that's going to be your physical evidence you can present in court. So again, if they steal it, it's completely useless. You're going to want to have something that you can pull later and be like, here's my security camera evidence. This guy was in my house. Here's him facing the camera. I don't have any experience with Synology, but I think that is really interesting and probably something worth looking into. It's not open source, but again, you mentioned it is very well reputed in the community. As much as I hate to say it, Ring is end-to-end encrypted. They did recently roll back some of their police access to make it a little bit harder for police to get access. Although again, if it's end-to-end encrypted, then police don't have that access in the first place. I hate Amazon as much as the next sane human being who's paying attention, but it is an option. The last thing I was going to present was there's a company called Ecobee. I looked into them when I was interested in a smart thermostat, and apparently Ecobee has told Amazon to piss off. Ecobee integrates with the Alexa, and Amazon tried to push them for more user data under the pretext of like making it integrate better or something like that. And Ecobee actually pushed back like, no, you don't need this data. We're not just going to become one of your surveillance tools. So I'm not saying they are privacy friendly. I'm sure they collect more data than they need to. But the fact that they like actually pushed back on Amazon and were being like, you're being a little bit much right now and you need to stop, to me, that really spoke volumes. Yeah, that's about all I got. Other than that, I think if you're trying to do something, you're going to have to like home cook something. Or you know what I just remembered actually? We covered a story like 6 months ago or so about how when like Ring was really in hot water, there was like a whole bunch of things happening all at once. And apparently there's like whole forums and communities of people dedicated to like home cooking video doorbells. Basically everybody was mad at Ring, and there were whole people on the internet that were like, how can I get a Ring without buying a Ring? And so there's communities that'll like share GitHub repos, hardware recommendations, help you do the setup. I have not personally looked into any of that, but that could be a good place to start too, is see if you can try to find some of those communities of people who are doing exactly what you're asking about. I just remembered that. Those were all our questions this week. Really good questions. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to be one of our patrons who gets to ask us a question next week, $5 on Patreon. There should be a link in the description. If you are already a patron, be sure to leave your questions for our next Q&A next week, and make sure you are subscribed so that you don't miss Surveillance Port 177 coming out in a couple days this weekend here. So thank you guys again for watching, and we'll see you this weekend.